Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The clamor is getting louder in the days and hours now before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. Heads of state, heads of spy agencies, legislators, Trump's own cabinet nominees, warning that Vladimir Putin's Russia is a serious threat to the United States, to European allies, to the post-World War II order. And the more President-elect Trump calls for closeness with Putin and trash-talks NATO and the EU, the sharper the warnings have become. This hour On Point, we'll go to Moscow, then survey the pushback to Donald Trump's Russia fondness with New York Times columnist Roger Cohen. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What do you hear in the warnings on Russia from the president, vice president, UN ambassador, senators, spy chiefs, and Trump's own cabinet nominees? Where does the Trump-Russia road lead? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Moscow via Skype is Andrew Roth, Moscow correspondent for The Washington Post. He's been watching many Muscovites get ready to celebrate the American presidential inauguration tomorrow. That's certainly food for thought. Andrew Roth in Moscow, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
We are reading reports of Moscow in a celebratory, even triumphalist mood right now. What's going on, Andrew?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's quite impressive to watch what's going on here at the moment. Russians, for the first time, feel like they might finally have a friend, a person that might be friendly with Vladimir Putin in office. And it's interesting to see the ways that that is, you know, coming out in terms of parties that are planned, in terms of product placement. So things that we're seeing are, for instance, the Russian Army Store, which is run by the Russian Ministry of Defense, is offering 10% off all of its stock to employees of the U.S. Embassy. So a little bit of trolling there. A
weapons. You mean so U.S. Embassy people can wear Russian military stuff?
You know, if they feel like it, they can go in and buy some. But I think that they're trying to remind Russians that they're around.
Yep.
A weapons factory in Zlatoust, Russia, is making commemorative coins. So they're minting them. You can have Donald Trump on one side and the Statue of Liberty on the other. And if you feel like buying some sugar in Tula, well, there are sugar cubes coming out that have a limited edition Donald Trump version with his picture on the front. So we do see some companies that are sort of sensing that there's a lot of interest and excitement and are, you know, maybe trying to make a ruble off of that as well.
Is this a kind of inner circle thing around Vladimir Putin and those in power there celebrating Donald Trump's inauguration? Is it more widely felt among ordinary Russians?
You know, I think media here is so pervasive, and especially state media, that there is a general sense, I think, that it's wider, and it comes largely from television shows that people watch. You know, Gennady Gudkov, he's an opposition politician, called it Trumpomania in a Facebook post. And what he's saying is that, you know, in Russian news right now, the main actor is Donald Trump. He called him His Majesty Trump. So if you turn on the TV in Moscow at the moment, you're going to see a lot of praise for Donald Trump, and you're also going to see a lot of anger at the Obama administration, which is on its way out.
Via media, then, via television, what are Russians being told they should expect? Why are Russians, you know, what are the reasons being given to them to celebrate a Trump inauguration?
I think that they are being told mainly that they're finally going to get a reprieve from the sort of liberal, overbearing West that's trying to tell them how to live all the time, that's trying to tell them to accept liberal values. You know, the word political correctness in Russian society in particular carries a very strong stigma. And Russians are told and sort of believe that Donald Trump, like They believe their own president kind of tells it as it is, tells it straight. So they think that they might get more support, you know, more concretely in terms of Ukraine, in terms of Syria, in terms of NATO. I think that they're being told that they might expect quite a bit.
There are pretty significant sanctions on Russia because of its activity in Crimea and Ukraine. Are Russians expecting those would go away under President Trump?
You know, I think that they're hoping that those would go away as well. That's one of sort of the many different grievances that they have with Washington right now. I would say that the Russian government has been a little bit more careful in its terms. In particular, Vladimir Putin and also some of his other ministers have said, you know, we don't know what this man is going to turn out to be like exactly. It's really going to depend on meeting and in terms of our own interest. So I think that they're trying to limit expectations. But to be honest, I think that they realize that they have more opportunities right now than they have in a long time.
And Andrew, several American presidents coming into office have talked about resetting or restoring relations with Russia. How do Russians see the Trump promises different?
I think they recognize that Trump is a break with the past in terms of American foreign policy. They've never really heard anybody who's talked not just about sort of a reset with Russia, but somebody who's really being personally friendly towards Putin, saying things like, you know, he's a really strong leader, he's stronger than maybe the leader of our own country. I think that, you know, that they're very attuned to American politics. They might get a slightly slanted view of it, but they also recognize the break that's happened in sort of the American political succession. They know that it's not just another reset. This is something that could really be a game changer.
Andrew Roth, stay on top of the Trump-O-mania there in Moscow. We're very grateful to you for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Vice President Joe Biden yesterday was at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. He was warning about a clash between the West and Russia, said that there's a movement in the world to undermine the post-World War II liberal international order. Here he went on.
I'll not mince words. This movement is principally led by Russia. Under President Putin, Russia is working with every tool available to them to, one, whittle away at the edges of the European project, test the fault lines among Western nations, and return to a politics defined by spheres of influence.
And Joe Biden, not the only one talking about this in recent days and weeks, right across a pretty broad front, lots of hand-wringing and heavy criticism of Donald Trump on Russia, including nominees to a cabinet post, his nominees, who have had rather different messages from the incoming president. To look at all this right now, joining us from New York is Roger Cohen, columnist for the New York Times. Roger Cohen, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
How significant is the Trump tone, message, turn on Russia?
I think it's pretty significant. The way in which he seems to like, even venerate, Vladimir Putin, the way he has talked dismissively both of the European Union and of NATO, which are the foundations of the post-war order, this is something completely new. What we don't know yet, because there seems to be no coordination between the president-elect and the cabinet that's coming in, is whether his views will prevail and there'll be some dramatic change both in the relationship with Putin and America's alliances, or whether his nominees for Secretary of State and Defense, who have sounded a very different tone and have spoken of the importance of the alliance and the danger Russia represents to the alliance, which of those will prevail? We have no idea. There seems, on the very eve of the inauguration, Tom, to be no coordination.
Talk about the scale of potential impacts if Donald Trump were to push forward in policy with the kind of attitude on Russia that he expressed on the campaign trail and rather vividly even since then, talking about NATO as obsolete, Russia as a sounding like something like more of an ally of the United States, certainly against ISIS. If you went fully Trumpian, what would the potential outcome look like? What would the world look like on the other side, Roger?
It's very hard to imagine because we've had the current order for more than seven decades now. But as you know, Tom, Russia And not even just President Putin, although he does it in particularly energetic form. I mean, Russia, at the end of the Cold War, essentially took the view, well, okay, that's the end of NATO. We don't need NATO anymore. We don't need a North Atlantic Treaty Alliance. Let's get the United States out of Europe and let's have some shared European home from Lisbon to Vladivostok. And on the face of it, what Trump is saying, and the reason I think that there's such joy and happiness, as Andrew just described, in Moscow. On the face of it, what Trump, President-elect Trump, is saying seems to advance that project. There is a project, a strategic, geostrategic plan on the Russian side. As you know, President Putin has called the collapse of the Soviet Union the greatest geostrategic tragedy of the 20th century, and he's trying to reassert Russian power. So if you go fully Trumpian and if you accept that he favors or views benignly the notion of more European states after Britain leaving the European Union and regards NATO as obsolete and regards Russia as a potential friend of the United States, then it's nothing less than the upending of the whole post-war strategic order. I mean, not to mention Syria, of course, where if there's really an alliance between them, you might see Russian and American forces, in theory, I guess, bombarding Raqqa and trying to destroy ISIS. It's all hard to imagine because, frankly, it's Thursday today. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yep.
We do not know what is going to happen after Friday. What we do know is that the president-elect is irascible, he's impulsive, and he has a short attention span. How far will those personality traits dictate the course of the presidency? How far will his cabinet control those? We don't know.
I mean, don't we know more than that? Donald Trump has been very straightforward about his warm feelings toward Vladimir Putin and his sense that the relationship with Russia could be very different.
Yeah, I think if you take his words to mean something in terms of concrete action, then yeah, this is a dramatic break. He regards Putin as you know, a fellow, a friend, somebody who thinks like him, who's pretty macho. Who we had President Putin 2 days ago with this incredible press conference in which he said, I don't think that President-elect Trump, with all the beautiful women he's known, would have headed straight to Russian prostitutes on arriving in Russia. But then added that the girls of loose morals in Russia, quote, are undoubtedly the best in the world. You see parallels in the way they think about women, about the threat from the Muslim world, right across the spectrum, I think.
Roger, hold the thought there. We're up against a break. We'll come back and dive deep with Roger Cohen of the New York Times. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about warnings of a Russian threat as Donald Trump opens his arms to Moscow in the run-up to inauguration tomorrow. Roger Cohen is with us, columnist for the New York Times. He's been writing about it. Lots of people have been writing and talking and thinking about it. You can join us this hour. Who's right here on Moscow? Donald Trump, who says, let's be friends with Russia? Or his pick to lead the Defense Department, his pick to lead state, his UN ambassador, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, CIA's John Brennan, Samantha Power, Joe Biden. Do you see an upside to making nice with Putin? Is Donald Trump naive or compromised or fully aware and right about something here? Roger Cohen joins us from New York. Vladimir Putin talking earlier this week in Moscow, saying political elites in the U.S. are trying to undermine Donald Trump with fake news stories and fake dossiers. The Russian leader, who Trump so admires, saying people who order such fake reports are now circulating against the president-elect. They're worse than prostitutes. They have no moral restrictions whatsoever. It highlights a significant degree of degradation in political elites in the West, including the United States. Of course, we've got all the intelligence agencies in the United States saying that Putin organized hacking to get into the middle of the U.S. campaign season and to try and disrupt American democracy in Trump's favor. Republicans sent Lindsey Graham on Fox News talking with Tucker Carlson last night. He warned that the next president not to reset, he said, relations with Russia. Now, he said if Trump forgives Putin after all the allegations about what went on during the election season, Graham said, you're screaming weakness. And he continued,
if you forgive Putin for what he's done in our election and what he's doing all over the world, he will be on steroids, and it's the worst possible thing he could do to reset relationships with Russia. You need to smack him in the face. I don't want a war with Russia, but I want them to pay a price for trying to undermine our democracy and what they're doing all over the world to other democracies.
And there's been plenty more like that. Here's the outgoing ambassador to the UN of the United States, Samantha Power, slamming Russia in a speech at the Atlantic Council on Tuesday. The U.S. and its allies must come together, she said, to counter Russia's efforts to undermine the West.
The Russian government under President Putin is taking steps that are weakening the rules-based order that we have benefited from for seven decades. Our values, our security, our prosperity, and our very way of life are tied to this order.
Values, security, prosperity, way of life. Samantha Power there. Roger Cohen is with us from New York. Roger, connect the dots of this unbuttoning that people are, opponents of the Trump view, are worried about. Some kind of series of events, if the relationship is changed, that would undermine prosperity, security, you know, order, the entire Western way of life. How does that vision unfold?
Well, Tom, as we just heard, Russia has interfered in an unprecedented way in our election, and I think the response from the Obama administration was belated and probably not strong enough. But it's not just that. Russia is there's evidence of it financing the National Front, France, the right wing party, rightist party in France of Marine Le Pen, and there's a French election in April. There were credible accounts of Russian attempts to overturn an election and even stage a coup in Montenegro. President Putin is eating away where he can at the liberal order, the rules-based order, as Samantha Power just said, and nowhere more conspicuously than in Ukraine, where having recognized formally the borders of Ukraine in 1994, Putin's Russia simply annexed Crimea and then stirred up a war in the eastern part of the country to weaken and undermine Ukraine and try to prevent it moving closer to the European Union. And, of course, Russia has committed terrible war crimes, unspeakable war crimes in Aleppo, in the east of Aleppo. So I don't think you say connect the dots. I think the dots almost connect themselves. You know, Putin, as I said at the beginning, he has a project. And if you have somebody, President-elect Trump, who for some reason, and I don't think we know the reason, it is bizarre, it is strange, why this infatuation with President Putin? What is it based on? Of course, we've heard allegations of unsubstantiated allegations of President-elect Trump having compromised himself. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that that's
financially,
occurred.
Sexually, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there some – we haven't seen President-elect Trump's tax returns. Why? All the reasons he's given for not disclosing them are specious. So why – is there a money connection? What is it? We don't know. And that, of course, may come out at some point.
I mean, you
– it's there. And I think there's an element that we have – it's very hard to understand in this.
You quote former U.S. NATO Ambassador Nicholas Burns, now at the Future of Diplomacy Project at Harvard, saying that Trump's approach to Russia is a travesty. I'm reading here Martin Schaefer, spokesman for Frank-Walter Steinmeier, the German foreign minister, talking about order crumbling. He said, order is crumbling. I mean, this is more than the borders of Ukraine that people are worried about longer term. I mean, take it into Europe. Take it into the heart of American alliances.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not there yet, but if you dismiss NATO, okay, you say NATO is no longer relevant, you're saying to Poland and Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, all these NATO members that are right at the fringes of Russia and in the case of in all of the cases lived under the Soviet Imperium, the cruel Soviet Imperium for decades after World War II, you're saying to them, Article 5, collective defense, we're not so sure about that. America's word is what has kept global stability intact for since 1945. So you're saying, you're almost inviting President Putin to try what he's already tried in Ukraine and in Georgia. So, you know, these are real dangers. Has that occurred yet? No, it hasn't, but it could.
When maybe we need to back up and talk about the liberal order that we heard the Vice President Smith Power and others talk about here. Can you define that for people? Because people are talking about deep Western values here. And it's funny, lately, when we talk about American political values or Western values, there's a strain that shows up on Twitter right away from listeners saying, what values are you talking about? As if there is no real set of values there. And yet you've got other, you know, big people here warning about losing these as fundamental and terrifying. Better define it, Roger.
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. Freedom, democracy, rule of law, an independent press, a vigorous press, and the truth as meaning something. You know, John le Carré, in one of his novels, speaks of the, quote, classical, timeless, all-Russian, barefaced, whopping lie. And that is what we hear emanating from Moscow all the time. What we just – first of all, why is President Putin making comments about the political transition in the United States? Why is he – why does he feel he can suggest that President-elect Trump is being undermined before he takes office? He has no business doing that. And the way in which he's intervening is an all-Russian, barefaced, whopping lie. So these are values, I think – maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I think they're important. I think we need a vigorous and independent press. I think we need freedom. I think we need democracy. I think we need habeas corpus. I think we need what, you know, not everybody in the world, far from it. We're you know, in the global population, it's not the majority. But we who have the privilege to live in liberal democracies. I think we still, despite everything that's happening, everything that's changing, we know what our values are, and we know that they're sacrosanct, and that without them, we're heading toward the abyss.
Vice President Biden in Davos yesterday talking more about what he has concerns about with Russian meddling in voting coming up. Some big elections is scheduled in Europe this year. Here was Biden.
With many countries in Europe slated to hold elections this year, we should expect further attempts by Russia to meddle in the democratic process. It will occur again, I promise you. And again, the purpose is clear: to collapse the liberal international order. Simply put, Mr. Putin has a different vision of the future, one in which Russia is pursuing across the board.
And many now wondering how a Trump presidency may, if you look at it that way, play into that. Roger Cohen is with us. He's been watching carefully, columnist for the New York Times. We heard from Andrew Roth of the Washington Post in Moscow, where they're preparing to celebrate Donald Trump's inauguration tomorrow. Roger, callers for you, Dolores in Waterford, Pennsylvania. Dolores, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I believe Putin is the new czar, and I would put him somewhere between Ivan the Terrible and Peter the Great. The title of the sick man of Europe has been bestowed upon a number of European countries, and Russia has not been exempt from holding that title. And I believe Putin wants desperately to put Russia on equal footing with the West. But Putin didn't rise to the top of the KGB because he won the Nobel Peace Prize. I was in Army Intelligence, and I was an instructor at the U.S. Army Intelligence Center School, and I taught a class at the classified level on the KGB and GRU. These okay. guys don't play. And albeit both are megalomaniacs, Putin, I believe, is much smarter because he knows Trump's ego is larger than the universe. And as long as he continues to stroke that ego, Trump is putty in Putin's hands. And this makes for a very dangerous scenario. And again, you know, there are a lot of unknowns. We don't know about all of Trump's activities when he was going to Russia, when he was being followed, if the rooms were being, of course they were being bugged. I mean, that's the way the KGB operates. And also what transpired between Trump's team, the campaign team, and Russian officials, because they came right out, and I can't remember if it was a week or two before the election, where they said that the Russian officials had said that they were in contact with members of Trump's campaign team. So what was said?
Dolores, are you concerned about American interests, American values here, or are you confident that even if Donald Trump is more sympathetic, those will be untouched?
Oh, I'm scared for Europe, and I'm scared for us. He's selling us down the river.
Dolores, we got it. Let me get one more right here, and I'll bring it to you, Roger. Anna, Dolores, thank you. Anna in Charlotte, North Carolina. Anna, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So my feeling about it is that I think it's an intelligent decision to be close with Russia, to be close with Putin, to have conversations with them, to have the relationship that Trump is trying to build with them. I think it's been a long time coming. We've been saying for years in this country, it's always been, you know, like Allen Ginsberg's from America, you know, them Russians and bad Russians. I'm just kind of tired of hearing it. And I think it's important that we relate to each other and we try to talk to each other. I don't see it as this, as your previous caller seems to fear. I don't see it as a fearful situation that we're dealing with megalomaniacs. I don't think it's somebody's figured out how to cater to someone's ego. I think both parties are much more intelligent than that. And I think it's just purely a strategic move based in intelligence.
What if Vladimir Putin is, as our intelligence agencies say, you know, trying to undermine confidence in American democracy? If, as Roger Cohen says, you know, he's demonstrated opposition to freedom, rule of law, independent press, truth itself.
Exactly.
Do you worry about that, Anna?
No, to that I say we are the American people, and we're much more intelligent than that. I think Trump is more intelligent than that, and I think we should give ourselves and the international community more credit than that. I really do.
Anna, we've got it. Roger Cohen, you hear Dolores, who worked in Army intelligence, U.S. military intelligence, really worried, but Anna's saying we're bigger than that. We don't have to worry about this. You know, cool down.
Yeah, well... I agree with Anna that it would be a good thing to have a better relationship with Russia. I do not agree that you get that by folding. I think you have to negotiate with – Russia respects one thing, strength. And if President-elect Trump goes into his dealings with President Putin on the basis that NATO's not worth a whole hell of a lot anymore, nor really is the European Union – you know, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal of some kind. We can undo the order that has maintained a stability for a very long time. I mean, Anna, I think you're. What would you say to the couple hundred thousand people in Aleppo who've been killed or evicted in Ukraine? What has happened in the east of the country? President Putin is not playing around. There are lives being lost because of his ambitions to expand Russian power. And I think if you just believe in his good intentions, then you're headed into a very dangerous place.
Well, Donald Trump has said,
we don't know. We just don't know. You know, sometimes I think, so Rex Tillerson and General Mattis, nominees for Secretary of State and Defense, say Russia is, like Joe Biden, say Russia is trying to undo the NATO alliance and this is a real danger. Then the president says, so is this total lack of coordination, as I said at the beginning, or is this a president who is going to traffic in disorientation? His main aim with the American people will be to disorient us completely. Why would he want to do that? Because a disoriented people is a very susceptible people. If you're completely disoriented and somebody says, I'm your voice, I'm your savior, in me is vested all wisdom, and you're completely disoriented because there are tweets tumbling out of the White House and the Secretary of State saying one thing and somebody else is saying another, sometimes I think that could be it. We just don't know.
What would the payoff be for Donald Trump here? I mean, what he's said is, as Russian assistance in dealing with ISIS?
Well, that's we'll see. I mean, that's one, as I said, maybe there will be some Russian-American attack on Raqqa. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the personal dealings have been between between Donald Trump himself, the Trump Organization, and Russia. There are lots of things we don't know. We also don't know if, in some way, the president-elect feels compromised. To give credit to the president-elect, he has a kind of political genius. What he pulled off was extraordinary. He intuited this anger in the American people, and he became the expression of that. And it was an extraordinary achievement. So maybe on the international stage, too, there are elements to his intuitions that will prove fruitful.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Rocket Mortgage provides a transparent online process that helps you understand all the details of your home loan. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the right mortgage solution for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about warnings of a Russian threat as Donald Trump opens his arms to Moscow. Of course, inauguration is tomorrow. It will very soon be President Trump, and he has talked about Moscow and the Russian leadership, Vladimir Putin in particular, in ways I think it's fair to say we've never heard before from an American president. Roger Cohen has been watching all this for the New York Times, columnist there, and he's with us today. He's been Times correspondent from London, Berlin, Brussels, Rome, Paris, Rio, all over the place, watching closely. Many Americans are as well. You can join us this hour. Who's right here on Moscow? And what about NATO, American allies, our partnership with Europe? Is that really obsolete? Is Trump playing Putin? Is Putin playing Trump? Is Donald Trump playing with fire here? In his press conference last week, Trump was asked whether Russia's President Putin had deliberately interfered with the election to help him win, and whether he'd preserve President Obama's recent punitive measures against Russia around Ukraine more. The president-elect's response? It's a good thing if Putin likes him.
If Putin likes Donald Trump, I consider that an asset, not a liability. Because we have a horrible relationship with Russia. Russia can help us fight ISIS, which, by the way, is number one tricky. I mean, if you look, this administration created ISIS by leaving at the wrong time. The void was created. ISIS was formed. If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability.
Of course, the roots of ISIS go deeper than that. But we had the CIA director, John Brennan, on Fox News Sunday, was warning the president-elect that it's not just about him, he said. It's about the United States of America. This is the CIA chief, outgoing. Also warned Donald Trump that being very spontaneous in his words and actions would not protect, he said, U.S. national security. Here was Brennan.
What I think Mr. Trump has to understand is that this is more than being about him. And it's about the United States and our national security. And he has to make sure that now that he's going to have the opportunity to do something for our national security as opposed to talking and tweeting.
And here once more is UN Ambassador Samantha Power talking about Russia's disinformation campaigns.
If we try to meet the Russian government in its upside down land, where right is left and black is white, we will have helped them achieve their goal, which is creating a world where all truth is relative and where trust in the integrity of our democratic system is lost.
Democratic system on the line. People are talking in very big terms here. Let's bring it back down to almost tactical. If Russia and the United States reach some kind of new understanding, Trump suggests possibly under a Trump administration, maybe very soon, and combined forces to confront ISIS, what would that even look like, Roger? I mean, we've seen what Russia did in Chechnya. We've seen what they did in Syria and Aleppo. If we were allied with them militarily, let's say, against ISIS, what would that look like?
Well, I think President-elect Trump, my sense is he's very attracted to the military and to military power. And He thinks that President Obama has been amateurish, signaling what he's about to do, surges with date certain to withdraw afterward. And he's had a point maybe on some of that. So I think the notion of flattening Raqqa, turning it into Grozny, that kind of appeals to the president-elect, I think. So maybe that's what they'd like to do.
Can you win with that? I mean, there's Mosul. It's full of Iraqi citizens. You can't flatten Mosul.
Can you win? The essence of Russian policy in Syria is to maintain its influence there, its warm water port there. Mm-hmm. The essence of that is preserving Bashar al-Assad in power. So long as he's in power, an Alawite, and so long as he's killing Sunnis by the tens and hundreds of thousands, ISIS, which is Sunni, is going to have a very big recruitment pool. So there is, you know, huge inconsistencies there in looking at what a Putin-Trump alliance might look at. And what about Iran?
Well, Russia's close to them.
Trump, among all the things he's planning to tear up, NATO, the EU, NAFTA, he's also planning to tear up, he says, and what do his words mean? Maybe not a whole lot, but he says he wants to tear up the Iran nuclear deal. President Putin is very attached to the Iran nuclear deal. So even before we start growing closer, are we going to start growing further apart? I don't know.
Ethan in Kentucky, Cynthiana, Kentucky. Hi, Ethan. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well. What do you see, Ethan?
Well, I think Donald Trump is making a very tactical approach to this. As a strong businessman, he's trying to build the relationship with Russia without criticizing them too much. You got to deal with Russia with a strong hand, and he understands that. And as far as it goes, I believe that a strong alliance with Russia would help us deter ISIS from continuing to take over more territories than they have already. As a former member of the U.S. Armed Services, that, you know, dealt with having to see ISIS grow and the way they've handled themselves throughout the Middle East, I believe that that's kind of what America needs to see in order to handle our main fear right now, which is terror.
Ethan, what about in that partnership, if that's what Donald Trump goes ahead and builds, what about American values? What about freedom, democracy, rule of law, openness, truth, independent press? What about that, Ethan?
I don't think Donald Trump is really trying to tear down, you know, the whole American values here. He's just mainly trying to build up better relationships. That's a stupid move on his part if he tried that. But to have that better relationship, maybe. As far as the whole freedom of press, well, let's look at freedom of press. What lies have they all told throughout the years? I mean, you talk about Central Intelligence Agency's giving out false reports as far as, you know, WMDs in Iraq, per se. Well, who's to say that these are reports of allegations of Russia hacking and all this false reports made up as well?
So, but pretty soon, what do you believe in, Ethan? If you don't believe your own press, you just take Russia's word for it or Donald Trump's word for what's going on in the world?
I think it's hard to believe the press, but that's when you have to use your own judgment as far as which press to believe. I do think they need to have a little bit stricter guidelines as which presses had the right to operate. Like, get rid of things like BuzzFeed, where they do publish lots of uncircumstanced articles.
Yeah, Ethan, we got it. Of course, you know, maybe what they publish is really important for us to know. Not nailed down yet, but I hear you, and I want to get one more. Ethan, I appreciate that. Charlie in Atlanta, Georgia. Charlie, you're on the air with Roger Cohen.
Hi, Tom. Nice to talk with you again.
You too.
I think Roger Cohen cut right to the chase when he said, we still don't know about the tax returns. We don't know what the financial entanglements Donald Trump has with Russians. The other thing is that Donald Trump has already destabilized the global order by presenting a schizophrenic foreign policy. He says NATO is obsolete. Mattis says NATO is vital. You can't have both. And if you are the leader of Latvia, Lithuania, or Estonia, you're looking at 1940 again when Stalin annexed the Baltic republics. And this is very, very destabilizing in the world. Putin is playing Donald Trump like a balalaika, one of those little triangular three-string Russian mandolins.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Charlie, we've got it. I want to turn to Europe. I mean, last week, Trump talked with a couple of European newspapers, doubled down on past comments, said NATO was obsolete, that the United Kingdom wouldn't be the last country to leave the EU, seemed pleased about that, and so on. On Monday in Berlin, the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, responded fairly curtly to Trump's remarks.
She's saying, I think we Europeans have our fate in our own hands. That's new. And she went on, he, Trump, has presented his positions once more. They've been known for a while. My positions are also known.
Roger Cohen, you know Europe well. If Donald Trump loosens the bonds of NATO or sees it, I don't know, sends it down the river as obsolete, what happens? Do Europeans arm up? Do they fall apart? What happens on this front?
Well, I think they would have to. The European powers, and Britain is now leaving the EU, but they would have to.
But not NATO.
Not NATO, no. I think the European powers would have to arm up, as you put it. We're not there yet, but they certainly would, yeah. Russia is a real threat. We know that from history. And Merkel, Chancellor Merkel, was actually quite restrained. President-elect Trump, in that interview, personally insulted her.
Yeah.
He said, and it's among the things that Trump says, that I feel we need this cartoon where heads are just spinning all the time. Yeah. I mean, he said, this is not a quote, but the gist of it was, well, look, I'm going to trust Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin, and I'll see how it goes, and we'll see if that trust works out or not. So he's putting our most important ally in Europe, Angela Merkel in Germany, and Vladimir Putin of Russia, on the same level. That is extraordinary. It is absolutely extraordinary. No American leader for 70 years plus has said anything like that at all. And just listening to Ethan. You know, I mean, it's so easy to criticize the press, and of course we're not faultless by any means. But just, you're listening to NPR, Ethan. You're listening to Tom Ashbrook. I mean, just imagine if NPR, as in Moscow, were under some diktat to simply reproduce everything and endorse everything that President-elect Trump, then President Trump, says, does, etc. Wouldn't you feel that was pretty frightening, pretty arid, and the beginning of a police state? You know, careful what you wish for.
Maybe we have to go back and just remind listeners what life is like in Russia. We had a listener call the other day and say that she heard that there were more Christmas decorations in Russia than in America, and things were better there than here. Their system was better than the American system politically. Trump has talked so fondly of Vladimir Putin that I wonder if Americans are projecting a whole lot of things into Russian reality. I mean, remind people what happens with dissent in Russia, of how power is applied in Russia, of the sort of power of the plutocrats in Russia, Roger.
Well, dissent is repressed, and a lot of opposition journalists over the last decade have been killed, not just imprisoned, killed. And there is very little freedom of the press. NGOs that are working in Russia have been increasingly confined, and it is a system, an authoritarian system, that is under the control of President Putin. It's it's at a very, very far remove from our own system. And all these murders of journalists and other opposition figures, of course, there's never been any kind of credible investigation. When Russia shoots down a Malaysian passenger jet, and we all know it did, again, we get the barefaced, whopping lie. And as Samantha Power said, black is white, left is right. It was the Soviet Union that came up with the slogan, 2 + 2 = 5. 2 + 2 = 5. Do we
want
to
sort of Orwellian terms?
Yes, Orwellian terms, absolutely, Tom. And do we want to live in that? I mean, I was relieved to hear from Andrew at the beginning that this medal that is being minted with Trump on it has
The Statue of Liberty on the other
Statue
side.
Statue of Liberty on the other side, and not the the crest of the Order of Lenin.
Please, Branch in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on, Branch.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think everybody's missing a couple of points there on Trump's admiration of Putin. One is that Putin is probably the most successfully corrupt politician in the world. On a government salary, he's a multi-billionaire. He's some consider him the richest man in Europe, and the only way you get that is through corruption. It is a mixture of business and government where the head guy gets a whole lot of money. The other thing is that Putin, of course, is a dictator. Trump has never had a job with anybody. He's never had a shareholder in it at all. And now I think he aspires to dictatorial powers. And he wants to be like Putin. And Putin has enriched himself greatly at the while he's been in government service.
It's hard to argue with the reported wealth of Putin there and the likely path to it. Appreciate your call, Branch. Unsettling's picture here. Roger, can the United States have a very different strategic relationship with Russia and sustain American values, deep core values, at the same time?
I think it can, but I think it can only come from a position of strength. It can't come from folding up NATO, disbanding the European Union, loving President Putin for no evident reason, which is what President-elect Trump seems to do. And I think the point Branch made is an important one. I mean, this is a man who's never had a board of directors. It's family. It's family, family, family. The door gets closed. There are four or five people around a table. And it's about money and it's about deals. And that's the way this man has operated all his life. He's ahistorical, completely ahistorical. He has no interest in 20th century European history. He has no notion of what led to NATO or the European Union. He has a very limited view of the world. When he was asked the other day if he had any heroes, he stumbled around for a bit and then he said, yeah, my dad. He's ahistorical. So, of course, EU and NATO and all that. Maybe we can just dispense with that and hope for the best.
But freedom, it's a very democracy, rule of law, truth? I mean, can an American president not stand up for those?
No. He must stand up for those. He must. He must stand up for the well-being of the free world. The well-being of the free world is not built on a hope and a prayer.
Roger Cohen. Columns with the New York Times. You can read his recent column, Trump's Pivotal Russian Test, at our website. You can link to it there, onpointradio.org. Roger, it's always great talking with you. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Great to talk to you, Tom. Thank you.
Listeners, we'll have a keen eye on the inauguration tomorrow and all the week in the news in this hour. Join us. We'll be live from, we'll have guests live from Washington as everything unfolds on the Mall there. And all the news of this week. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm on Twitter at Tom Ashbrook, NPR. Thanks for joining us today. This is On Point.